Even if a bromance comes to a premature conclusion, you could still show that special bro that you care with a gift from Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a Podcast when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robasawebsite.com/AmazonCA.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are live here on a Wednesday night after a fantastic Survivor episode. What looks to be the last episode before the merge here in Survivor Worlds Apart. And there's a lot to talk about here tonight with my bromance, Stephen Fishback.
Rob, you're from the East Coast. I'm on the East Coast. What more do two people need to be best friends forever? I'm so excited to talk to you about a huge episode. And I think tonight we can truly crown a winner's edit.
A Mike, winner's edit.
Mike, I believe, is now the winner's edit of Survivor 32.
Well, I don't know if I could trust you with your winner's edit and loser's edit. You tweeted earlier tonight, bye-bye, Shireen.
I was wrong. You know, I respond in the moment. I'm in the moment. I'm live tweeting. It's emotional. Things get mixed up. I was wrong in the moment, but I think that, you know, I've said I like Tyler's edit tonight. Dead on our DOA, you know, Joe's edit, barely hanging on. Mike, big winner's edit.
Good, good. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk a lot to do tonight in an episode where we had a thrown challenge. We had a challenge that just didn't want to die. And finally, Mike hung in there. I want to talk about whether he should have stuck to the plan or maybe gone in a different direction. I want to talk about what was going on with the blue collar tribe and everything going on there and what we can expect here in the merge live on Survivor Know-It-Alls here on Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. We've got the chat room open on robhaswebsite.com. Plus, we're going to take your tweets with the hashtag RHAP or on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, tomorrow I will speak with the great Joaquin, Stephen.
Oh my gosh, the Joaquin dead.
He is the Joaquin dead at this point. We said, is he Joaquin on Sunshine or is he the Joaquin dead? And he was Joaquin on Sunshine. Last week. Last week, there was a voicemail. Was he going to be merge boots are made for Joaquin? But no.
He thought it was a walk in the park. It was a walk in the dark.
A walk in the dark. So,
yeah. Well, tell me, could Joaquin have possibly given them more sound bites of himself saying how confident he was and how easy it was going to be? Was that who Max Dawson or Joaquin? Which one gave more hubris?
I think it was probably Max Dawson, because at least Max Dawson tried to say that he knows what he's doing. Like Joaquin just is like, I feel good about what's going on here right now. Whereas Max Dawson is like, I know everything about Survivor and I'm confident right now. And I can't wait to go to tribal council. Joaquin was just like, I'm feeling pretty good about this right now. This is too easy.
He just wants to like date girls, party hard and never settle down.
Yeah. Well, wow. Yeah. He's like a modern day Zoe Xanticus. Him and Rodney. So we'll talk about all that here tonight on the show. And, exit interview.
That was a pretty great reference.
Yes. Exit interview with Joaquin tomorrow. And then we'll do the big recap podcast tomorrow. Jim Rice will be my guest. And then I will take your voicemails with Antonio Mazzaro. So a jam-packed show.
Jim Rice, great strategist in his season. Underrated, I think. He got Cochran'd. And, you know, at the time, I remember thinking, like, if Cochran doesn't flip, Jim wins the game. So, you know, he went out probably much earlier than he deserved to. Interesting.
He was a great podcast guest. We had him on during Cochran's last season in Karamoan.
What did he have kind things to say about John?
Yeah, he was complimentary towards Cochran. I think that there was, while there was definitely friction and tension, I think that they have probably, that relationship has healed over the years. So good on Jim Rice. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say on the podcast on Thursday. All right. So Stephen Fishback, are you ready? Let's get into this. Let's start with Sierra's decision, because we came into this episode and we said, into last week's episode, we said Sierra is probably going to be caught in the middle here, but the decks got shuffled a little bit where she was in the middle of the 3-3, but it was a different group of three than we thought coming into this episode, where we thought the blue collar was going to stick together. Instead, Rodney ends up flipping to Joaquin, but Joe ends up flipping away from Tyler and Joaquin. So we end up still with a 3-3 with Sierra in the middle, and everything indicated tonight that she was going to be siding with her new alliance of Rodney, Joaquin, and Tyler, but she ultimately sticks with the old tribe that she was with. Steven, do you like that decision?
Wow. We're know-it-alls. This one, I really don't know. Sierra, has all of these testimonials about how she doesn't like her old tribe. She doesn't trust her old tribe. They're disgusting people. But, you know, we saw that Joaquin brought over Rodney, who she really didn't like. And, you know, there was that scene. First, you have the scene of Joaquin kind of talking to Sierra, getting, you know, chatting her up, making nice with her. But then you have, you know, immediately following that, he says, well, we need four, and you got to be with Rodney if you're going to be with me. And then conversely, we have this scene where, you know, once again, we see Dan sticking his foot into his mouth, you know, just he had some quote like, just shut your mouth, open your eyes and watch what happens. I mean, what a terrible thing to say to someone you're trying to convince to be your ally. But now they have Joe. And, you know, the heart of it, I really believe, comes down to the one scene of Sierra and Joe hanging out on the beach together. And, you know, Sierra says, I'm just a girl who sometimes plays with her heart instead of her head. And Joe says, yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to do that. And Joe, I think, actually might not get enough credit for this move, because he is the one guy who is not giving her the heart.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that's a good point, Stephen. Do you think that had Joaquin and Tyler kept Joe as their third person
instead of Rodney,
and kept that as the group where it was a strictly blue collar versus new guys with Sierra in the middle, do you think that Sierra would have picked the new guys, or is Mike the real MVP in all this in getting Sierra to go with his group, even though she still hates Dan?
Well, I definitely think Mike was the MVP of this episode, and I think he was a big part of Sierra's decision. You know, I think Joe is a part of Sierra's decision too. Is it the right decision for Sierra? I've kind of avoided answering that question.
Let's talk about it.
I kind of think it is. You know, I kind of think Walk and Rod, they like each other the most. You know, they're smooth talkers. You know, Tyler, we don't really know what's going on with him. Again, dead winner's edit. She's got something with Joe. You know, she knows Mike and Dan are tight. So like Mike and Dan are kind of like Walk and Rod, right? She likes Walk, doesn't like Rod. She likes Mike, doesn't like Dan. Then you have Tyler, who, you know, she says seems trustworthy, and Joe, who she's thinking about with her heart. I kind of think Walk and Rod, you know, if I were out there, you know, obviously I'm seeing an edited show, Walk and Rod seem a little bit too slick for me. I think it's the right move to stay with the people that you've built up some kind of relationship with over a long haul versus the people who need you for one vote. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's very tricky. I really think I'm starting to see this season shaking out as the people that are with Mike and the blue collar people and the people that are with Joe and the no collar people. So by Joe being able to slide through this vote, I wonder if it was a poor decision on Mike's part to let Joe slip through, because Rodney wasn't coming after Mike. He was coming after Joe. Now Joe gets to the merge. He reunites with Haley, Jen, and Will. And now you have that no collar foursome back together. Now, Mike and Joe are aligned, so you might have a case where we have one of these super alliances coming into the merge where everybody is together and maybe it's everybody versus Rodney and Rodney is the first boot after the merge because everybody can't stand him. But the question is going to be what happens then? And then I think then you're going to see some of the power shift to the white collar people because they're going to be the spoilers, the Malcolm and Denise's who are going to be the people that pile on and ultimately decide which side has the power.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with you about a few key points there. And one is that you boot Rodney because everyone finds him annoying, right?
That's true.
Rodney? I mean, we've talked a lot about this season how it's a new generation of Survivor players. People are very self-aware. They're aware of the game in a way that maybe, you know, even when I played, and certainly in the dark ages of history when you played, we weren't. You know, it's become very self-referential and. Everyone knows Rodney's annoying, so you totally he's the guy you want at the end with you. So I think Rodney's actually in a good position.
Too early. He's so annoying that they won't keep him for that long.
I think the danger of the annoying guy is when it's pre-merge, right? He's the one who's causing divisions in a tribe when the tribe needs to be cohesive. But at the merge, when it's an individual game, you want to eliminate jury threats, and Rodney isn't one. So I don't totally agree with you. And I also think that, we were talking a little bit last week as well about, like, do tribes stick together after they've swapped, or do alliances stick together after they've swapped, or do you revert to your original tribe? I'm not so sure that Joe is going to necessarily jump right back to his no-collar people.
I mean, you have to think that certainly Joe is going to jump back with Haley and with Jen, though, right?
I mean, who knows, right? Jen and Haley might feel the thing that I heard. I talked to someone on a tribe swap season. Maybe it was on Blood versus Water or some one of those seasons, and they were saying that, you know, I asked that question. I don't remember who it was. I asked that question. I said, why stick with your swap tribe instead of going back to your original group? And that person said, because you're so worried that, you know, if you break the new alliance, you don't know where your original alliance was, right? You don't know what they're feeling. Are they happier with their new group? And you're worried by jumping out of your own alliance, your new alliance, that you're going to screw everything up for yourself. So you may be more inclined to stick with the new alliance.
I think it's going to be a really fun merge. And I'm really excited to get to this point because I love the merge. I'm Mr. Yeah. Merge.
Yeah, Mr. Merch.
Mr. Merch.
Yes. Not Mr. Merch, just the merch.
Yes, I love the merch. It's going to be so much fun. I wish that they would do the merch earlier in these Survivor seasons. And I think this is going to be a really fun one because there's so many different permutations as opposed to in the two tribe format. Like this is where the three tribe format really works, where we have so many different ways it could go coming into these next few weeks of
Survivor.
Three
tribes in a swap is how, you know, they all got to be like this. They all got to be three tribes in a swap because it truly is, as a viewer, you know, you have no idea what's going to happen when the swap comes. And then, you know, and then it's confusing for two episodes. And just as things start to settle down, again, everything gets flipped on its head. You know, we wouldn't want another episode with these tribes. You know, you don't want to see, it's either Shireen or, you know, one of the others, Tyler. And now we get to see it all get mixed up again.
Yeah. I mean, we've had three tribes. This is the fourth season where we had three tribes, and the merge has always brought fireworks in each of these seasons. Although, while it was somewhat of a pagonging in the All-Stars, we got the outcome of the Boston Robin Lex stuff. And in most recent seasons in Philippines and Cagayan, Philippines, you had a great merge bump where you had the boots of RC and Jeff Kent and Artis back to back to back. Then we had all the great stuff with Chaos Cass and stuff after the merge in Survivor Cagayan. So I think that this will be as a crazy merge as those last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks that way. You know, if we can't even like begin to figure out who's going to align with who after this, you know, and plus you have all these floaters, you've got Rodney, you've got, you know, Tyler, who's Tyler's alliance now? I guess it's Carolyn. And then what's Shireen going to do? So, you know, there's so much going on.
Yeah. So that's going to be very, very fun. Interestingly, I want to talk about the idea to throw the challenge. Now, I talked about this on the podcast last week where I said on paper, I thought this was a good idea, but I liked the idea for Mike to throw the challenge and get rid of Joe. And ultimately, they're going to throw the challenge to get rid of Joaquin. And again, I'm very much into it's blue collar versus no collar at this point. And what are the things that you could do to take out the people who are, you know, the big power players on both sides of that? I think it's going to be sort of like a war of attrition between blue collar and no collar. But interestingly, they decide to throw the challenge and ultimately take out Joaquin and save Kelly. Now, for Mike, did you like this decision in the first place? I haven't read what Eliza said on Twitter.
I know that there are people who think throwing a challenge is, you know, the worst thing you can do, second only to quitting.
It's not true. You can throw challenges, and there are instances when you should.
And I actually think this was great for Mike. I think this was a really, really smart decision. He protects his number one ally on the other tribe, who maybe people don't even know is his ally. He throws this challenge. He gets to look like a doofus, which, you know, is not actually a terrible thing to look like a doofus. And he gets rid of a power couple. And I think he had that great quote about you got to get rid of a power couple before they start making power moves. And, you know, Rodney has got all these ties on blue collar, and Joaquin has got, you know, he's got Carolyn, he's got Tyler. You know, together, these two, if they truly did start operating as a real pair, could have, you know, hypothetically won the game or run the game anyway. And obviously the problem is that they were too egotistical and not aware really of what was going on enough. You know, there were scenes with Rodney talking to Mike, and Rodney's going on and on, and Mike is just sort of like, yeah, that's right. Sure. That's what we're going to do. Maybe a subtler player would have noticed that, but I think it's a great move for Mike. You know, he gets rid of Walk, who's a, you know, a potential threat to pull away Sierra, right? Even more than he's a threat to pull away Rodney. Saves his ally. I thought it was awesome.
Well, were you really afraid that Rodney and Joaquin were going to run the game? Were they going to be JT and Steven 2.0, Rodney and Joaquin? The ultimate romance?
You know, I think you let that couple get to emerge. Like, no one wants to vote out Rodney. They've got Sierra on their side. You know, Locke's got Tyler and Carolyn. You know, that's a real core of an alliance right there. I think it's the right move. I think fracturing that alliance is great. I think, you know, I love that.
I feel like for Mike, I felt like it was a little too cute, with all due respect, because I feel like when it was a situation where, one, Sierra was on the fence, and I felt like they were lucky or good at the game, either way that you want to do it. But it wasn't a slam dunk that they were going to be able to do what they wanted to do. It wasn't like a situation in China where John Hu is like, okay, we're going to throw this challenge and we know we're going to be able to get rid of either Aaron or James, and they're from the other team. So it was sort of like a 50-50 shot which way Sierra was going to go. So I felt like that was risky. And then in the actual execution, where it's Mike versus Kelly, and of course the Survivor gods have it set up this way, where the person trying to throw the challenge is up against the person who is trying to be saved by that person. And of course, in true Survivor fashion, the person who is going to be the beneficiary of the thrown challenge can't execute and win the challenge. Steven, this is very similar to what happened in China when Todd came up with the plan to save lunch lady / custodian Denise.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. And ultimately they give James the immunity idol and they tell James, throw the challenge and go to tribal council, and then you'll be able to play the immunity idol and we'll get one of the people out from John Hu. And lunch lady Denise is unable to eat the, what is that called? The
balut.
The balut.
Literally could not eat the balut. It was pretty great. Literally could not eat it.
And James had to eventually say, "All right, I got this." And he ended up eating. I thought Mike was going to have to, just out of pure, like, this is going on and on and on, win the challenge. But ultimately, he lets Kelly finally win it. But do you fear that, is there people watching? Are everybody able to be like, oh my God, it's obvious he's throwing the challenge? And do people resent that?
I was wondering about that too, because he was like talking to her, you know? I mean, I wonder if he, like, do they know, you know? I mean, it's a hard one to tell because it's a memory challenge. You know, you don't know how good someone's memory is, and it's a visual memory challenge. You know, it's not like I don't think I would have performed so well at that. You know, it was not my forte. I don't know, right? Wasn't Mike okay with the idea of losing Joe? I don't remember the exact timeline when he decided that they needed to get rid of Joaquin, but my recollection is that he was all right with throwing it to get rid of Joe. You know, and I think if you're Mike and you're definitely saving your ally, Kelly, and you're throwing the challenge and either Joe goes, which, you know, fine, or Walk goes, which is great. I mean, he doesn't really lose in that situation unless he goes, and he didn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a fair point that it wasn't his name that was being brought up there by Rodney. But just to speak to the idea of when people can tell you're throwing the challenge, isn't that sort of the thing, like the Drew Christie thing, where, you know, when people, when you're making it so obvious that you're throwing the challenge that people want to get rid of you?
I was wondering who knew, you know, how many people were aware that that he was throwing the challenge. You know, Dan had this look of distress on his face. Was it feigned? You know, Joe had this look of distress. Was it feigned? You know, the other tribe isn't going to be mad at you for throwing a challenge, right? And they probably think, oh, these dumb guys, you know, can't get it. So I just wasn't sure who was truly on the in with the challenge throw. And, you know, I mean, it was pretty embarrassing, but Kelly wasn't getting it either.
Yeah.
They weren't both throwing the challenge.
Rodney was definitely in on the challenge throw. Rodney's in on it. Joaquin was in on it also, who sat out.
Yeah.
Right. So that was definitely those three. Dan certainly did not seem like he was in on it. I'm not sure if Tyler was in on it or not. The people that scored points for the blue collar, we know Dan scored a point. And who was the other person that scored
Sierra?
A point? Was it Sierra?
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, it's not good podcasting to look that up. Now, was it fair to ask Kelly to be the closer for Nagarote
in this challenge?
Considering that, yeah, she had a concussion.
Yeah, poor girl. She's expected to remember things. She can't remember what happened 6 seconds ago.
Is this a bad sign that she should not have passed the concussion protocol?
But she was the last one to go, right?
Yes.
She was the last one. So I think they probably were like, everyone goes before the girl who just had a major concussion.
Yeah. All right. Steven, let's talk about a couple of other players in particular this week. Shireen got a very favorable edit tonight, even though you mistakenly took it for the she's going home edit.
I thought when I first saw that confessional of like, you know, I finally overcoming my childhood insecurities or whatever, I thought it was like the goodbye edit, you know, kind of like Jeremiah got that edit, you know, in his season where like, I'm a model and here's who I am. You know, people get their I'm a human being and and Survivor has changed my life and then they're sent home. Or it's the ho-ho edit, right? Which is I had a moment of weakness. I recuperated and now I'm going off to go deep into this game and be an iconic figure. So it actually seems like Shireen Moore got the ho-ho edit.
The ho-ho edit.
Holly Hoffman edit. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think that's a favorable thing to say. Somebody got the ho-ho edit. Yeah. And I won't say which survivors in the past have gotten the ho-ho edit.
Yeah.
All right. But Shireen is looking like she bounced back. The show showed us her reintegrating with the tribe. Carolyn even said Shireen is not that annoying, Steven.
Yeah. I mean, it did seem like it was faint praise, right? It seemed, I mean, good for her where she was able to kind of build bridges and not get voted out. But I still think if they had gone to tribal council, Shireen would have been the one they sent home.
Yes. Most likely.
Shireen is in a great position right now in Emerge, right?
Yes.
Going to the end, unless she's really against a tight alliance, you are taking Shireen all the way to the end.
And what I said to Nicole when we did our preview show was that if Shireen can make it to the merge, nobody's coming after her. And even though Nicole argued that I was trying to have my cake and eat it too, I was not. It makes
sense.
What is
your cake in that? What's the cake?
She says, well, is she getting voted out or is she going to the end? I said, if she gets to the merge, she'll go to the end.
Right.
She doesn't understand. She doesn't understand, Stephen.
Top five.
Yes. So Shireen is looking good at this point.
I think so. You know, and especially being a big Survivor fan, you know, hopefully she knows enough to just sort of lay low and then wait for her kind of opportunity to strike at 7 or 6 or whenever it comes.
Yeah, Steven, it's that thing where if you are at the bottom, right when you go to the merge, all of a sudden nobody's worried about you. And, you know, it comes up in Heroes versus Villains where it's like they're going to vote out Sandra or they're going to vote out Courtney. And it's like, whoever they're not going to vote out is probably going to end up going very far in the game because people are coming after them.
I know. It still rankles me if, you know, if they had just been like, you know what, let's vote out Sandra. Let's flip the coin. Courtney wins Survivor versus Villains.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
I know. It still sticks in my craw a little bit.
Yeah. And it's something that John Robert brings up about Courtney in Survivor China, about how he calls her the biggest threat once they get to the merge, because and nobody's going to come after her.
Well, she was a challenge beast. She won that immunity challenge.
Does win an immunity challenge. Okay. Let's talk about Jen tonight. And so Jen is somebody else who is getting a very positive edit in the episode.
The turtle edit. Classic.
She got the turtle edit. And
so what you survive is turtles have to swim far and dig deep. You know, it's a good parallel to survivors. They gotta dig deep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dig woman.
How's that? There you go. dig woman turtle.
Dig
lay
woman
those eggs.
Turtle. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So did you know this about the turtle, Steven? 120 eggs?
I did not know that. Do you think this is a winner's edit for Jen? Now, my four used to be, or my...
Steven, let me just issue a correction on that. That is a...
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It's a winner, winner, chicken dinner edit.
Yeah. My three were Tyler, Joe, and Jen. I idiotically was blind to Mike. And now I think Tyler and Joe are out of the game. So to me, it's like Mike and Jen. And I think Mike is the better edit. Jen, though, gets a lot of airtime.
Yeah. No, Jen is doing very well and does get a positive edit that has not shifted from week to week. She also has the immunity idol. So,
although sometimes she's like, it's a little bit mixed, right? Like her confessionals are a little, they can be a little bit mean, a little bit snarky, you know, all about how...
Just shut up, man.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. How annoying Max is, how annoying Shireen is, you know, they're not always the nicest things that Jen is saying. And so I wonder, you know, and then she has that confessional about the immunity idol where she says, I can really screw up the game with this thing. I think something big is going to happen with Jen, but I don't think it's going to be a win.
She's good. She's good in confessional and she's been good in the game so far. And I really feel like I would put, if you were the turtle, Steven, would you put all of your eggs in the blue collar basket or the no collar basket?
Oh my gosh.
Who's your winner? Somebody wearing blue or somebody wearing red?
I think it's blue.
Feel better about red. I really do.
You're red. I'm blue. Are you willing to put up the knowingest know-it-all?
Boy, so what's the bet that the
blue
winner
versus red? Who wins?
And what about if it's Tyler, Shireen, or Carolyn?
Whoever gets further.
Whoever gets further. So last person standing, blue or red,
or winner, right? So if it's a blue winner, I'm the knowingest know-it-all.
So this is on the line for the season.
Yeah.
This guy right here?
That's my proposition. Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll see. All right. So this is official for the season.
Oh my God. It's finally.
You're putting all of your turtle eggs with the blue collar. I'm putting all of my turtle eggs with the red, with the no collar.
Yeah. I like it. I like it, Rob.
All right.
I like some action on my turtle.
Let's do it. It's on. You guys are witnesses. Episode 6 of Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yeah. Who is truly the best know-it-all?
We'll see who's truly the best know-it-all. I'm trying to put this where you guys can see it over here. Here, put him right in front of me. Okay. So in addition to that, Steven, this is going to be fun to watch how it plays out. Cause I think that whoever is the tightest group will do the best. And I don't see those no collar people turning on each other.
I agree with you, but I think the strategy, I think Mike is a stronger strategist than those guys are. I think he's a, you know, harder worker. You know, I really think Mike, I'm not, I don't have a lot of faith in Dan or Rodney to win the game. But, you know, look, I've been a big proponent of Joe. I've been a big proponent of, of Jen. So, I've got some love for those no callers.
Well, who are the pieces do you think that Mike has?
I think he's got Dan, right? I think now he's got Sierra. I think he might have some Joe leverage. You know, I think he's got a connection with Rodney, you know, even if Rodney is pissed, you know, he's got whoever else I'm not remembering right now.
Yes, I just got a text from Mr. Survivor, Stephen.
Tim Lannister.
No.
Oh, Spencer.
Yes, he said, yeah. Rob, don't do it. Stephen is about to clean you out. Now you tell me.
Oh, my God. Now Tim Lannister, late to the game.
So, all right. So, Spencer is of the school of thought that it is.
Stephen's the best. Know it all.
Okay. So, we'll see exactly how that's going to go. I just, again, I like what Mike pulled off tonight. I just don't know if he has the horses.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Mike has got some good moves. You know, I think he's done. I think the way that he has controlled Rodney, isolated the target of, you know, he voted out Joaquin because of the power couple. He voted out Lindsay because, you know, we kind of got the sense that maybe the problem with Lindsay wasn't that she was a loudmouth. It was that she and Sierra were too tight. So he's been isolating people and kind of bringing them over to himself. He's got his thing with Dan, obviously. And then, you know, any wildlife, he's just going to eat. So, like, that's not a threat either.
Well, just looking at it on paper, let's assume the four no callers get back together. And again, that we were taking a little bit of an assumption, but I think it's not a crazy assumption. Okay. And then if you say that Mike still has Dan and he has Sierra, and we'll assume he has Kelly.
Kelly, right. Thank you. That's what I was forgetting.
So
thank
the
you.
Wild cards here are Rodney. How badly is Rodney burned? And will Dan tell him off after tribal council? That's always a question to consider. And then you have your white collar people. And I do think now at this point, Shireen, Tyler, and Carolyn become your kingmakers. And who is going to be able to swing them over to their side? Carolyn has relationships with the no-collar people.
Yeah, but Tyler, Shireen's not sticking around with these people who have told her how annoying she is and voted off her wardy ally. You know, she's jumping ship.
But I think you're going to have people going in both directions because is Tyler going to stick with the people that just voted out Joaquin? Wouldn't Tyler go back with Carolyn?
Tyler will be with Carolyn.
So that's a zero-sum game where Shireen ends up potentially going to go to the blue collar people, potentially. I mean, she really knows nobody over there except for Kelly. And then hypothetically, if Tyler ends up coming to the and joining Carolyn with the no collar people, you know what that means, Steven. You know who's deciding this thing? Rodney.
Yeah. Oh man. Wow.
Rodney.
Well, I don't think it's gonna break
swing vote.
I don't think it's gonna break as neatly as you think it's gonna break. You know, I think that there's gonna be a little bit more.
It seldom does.
Yeah. You know what? You were right last season that it was going to be loved ones versus singles. And I was wrong about that. You know, I thought that there'd be more chaos than that, but you said, no, it's going to be the loved ones alliance versus the singles alliance. And that was roughly what it broke down into. So I ate crow then. Rodney's
Rob's the best. Know it all.
Yes. So what about Rodney?
I think Rodney's going to stick with his blue collar. I think he's going to be pissed. He's a hothead. They're going to have a fight. And then he's going to realize that he and Mike have too much wood between them.
Well, all right. So, Stephen, before we get to questions, is there anything else from the episode you want to highlight?
Let's see. We talked about Shireen. We talked about Mike. We talked about the immunity challenge, reward challenge. Not really much to say. We talked about the turtles. We talked about the vote. Does it benefit Sierra? I still don't know. Do you think Sierra made the right choice? Do we come to a conclusion about
that? I think that she probably did, because looking at the big picture, I think that the alliance of Tyler, Rodney, so it would have been Tyler, Rodney, Joaquin, and Sierra. I just don't know where, again, just to go with this idea of numbers after the merge, I don't know where the rest of their numbers are coming from. I mean, could they potentially pull Carolyn in with this group? It's just still not enough people. Whereas sticking with this group, you could pull Kelly back over, who Sierra has ties to Kelly. And so that's another number. And so I feel like she likes Joe. That's a number.
I really think that's the hard. I mean, I think Mike had a good sell.
Yeah.
And I think Joe had the soft sell. Mike had the hard sell and Joe had the soft sell.
And I'll tell you why else I like the move for Sierra. If she decides that, hey, you know what? This isn't working with the blue collar. She could always go with Joe and go back to the no collar people.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. And the reason why I don't love the move for Mike is that I'm very worried about Joe if I'm Mike.
So are you in favor of Mike's challenge throw? I don't think I think I kind of waxed poetic about or waxed.
I thought it was in on paper. I liked the idea, but I felt like in this specific instance, I felt like it was too risky because he didn't have Sierra's vote 100% and he wasn't in 100% control of what was going on. So I felt like it was too risky for them in that situation. And I think I would have also gotten a little scared after the third time they're running the challenge that, boy, everybody is going to know I'm throwing the challenge.
And he's talking to her. Like, isn't he worried? They weren't that far away. You know, it was like,
I thought at that point in the edit, it was going to come back to camp and everybody was going to look at what Mike was doing and say, boy, Mike thinks he's calling the shots around here. Why don't we just get rid of him? He's trying to throw the challenge for our group. So
he just choked.
Nobody held it against him. And again, it could work out just fine. I thought in this instance, I thought that probably it was not the right call, but it's not like it was a time where it's 100% a bad move. I think it was probably 60-40, the wrong call, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, before we get to the questions, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor for this episode of the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and those are our friends over at Retail Me Not. Steven, have you ever used Retail Me Not when you were doing shopping online? Of course, Retail Me Not is the best place to get promo codes and online coupons saving money when you shop, but it's inconvenient to go and look for them. That's why you need to get the app from Retail Me Not. Yes, you get thousands of coupons from over 50,000 stores all in one place. You'll be like having an app with it with just laying coupon eggs in your wallet.
You only need one.
You'll get 120 and you only need one to save money. It's a life-changing event, Steven.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And then, you know, your shot of winning is even better when you have all the coupons.
And your shot at saving money is going to be 100 in 100. 100%. Yes. You'll get deals like 60% off free shipping and free gifts with your purchase. So
shipping can be a beast, by the way. Like, let's not discount free, a percentage.
Let's discount free shipping. Let's discount the shipping right now with this app from Retail Me Not, because when you text RHAP to 42767, 42767, you'll get a text message to download the free Retail Me Not app right to your phone. Then you can redeem coupons from your phone whenever you're checking out. It's that easy. Retail Me Not is the best way to save thousands. To have thousands, but you'll probably save thousands if you use it enough. You'll get thousands of coupons on your phone to save money. So text RHAP to 42767. You'll get a link in a text message to download it. Never forget another coupon again. Text RHAP to 42767. Message and data rates may apply. For terms and privacy, visit retailmenot.com. All right, Steven, ready for questions on Survivor Know-It-Alls tonight?
I was born ready.
Born ready, like a turtle, ready to go into the wild. Here we go. Let's go to Havish.
Havish Patel wants to know, was this the right move for Sierra? Well, we talked about that at length.
Yes. You have to go back and watch the show again. Yeah. All right. From Jeff Jensen says, did Jeff Probst go too far with why not stick together for a couple more votes? Question to Sierra at Tribal. Steven, I did write in my notes. Said, objection, Your Honor, badgering the witness.
I tweeted that as well. I thought that was a little, it's funny, like, Jeff said, Jeff says that he wants to be the voice of the audience, and to be fair, I think that was the question the audience would ask, right? Which is that, why don't you just stay together? But when you're in the moment, maybe she is on the fence and then she ends up siding with them. Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah, because the question wasn't really like, well, I guess you could say, why not stick with my alliance of four that I started with, or is it better for me to go with this other group of people? Like, I did feel like the actual question, which was asked, like, but why not just stick with the people? Because Jeff has been so pro blue collar throughout the tribal council so far this season. Fair or unfair?
No, very true. Very true. But don't you think that Jeff would rather have Joaquin in the game over Joe? Or do you think Jeff prefers Joe over Joaquin?
I think that Jeff prefers Joe over Joaquin.
Oh, interesting.
Why? Why do you feel like Jeff would prefer Joaquin over Joe?
Joaquin and Rodney are such great villains.
They're such great villains, but Joe is such a Jeff guy. You know, he's like, you know, some incarnation of, you know, Ozzy, but with the likability of a Malcolm. I think that he is definitely more of a Jeff guy than Joaquin, who, you know, doesn't come across as the guy that maybe you want to bring home to mom and dad. He's a little bit more of a bad boy than Joe. Joe's the nice guy.
He's like Jean Robert.
He's like a Jean Robert crossed with a me, the bad boy of podcasting, minus the podcasting.
It's funny, on any other season, Joe would probably be a bigger character because he does have that sort of like Malcolm Golden Boy thing happening. But
Golden Boy.
Yeah. okay. So many big characters in this season. It's great. It's a great season.
The one thing that made me feel pretty confident that I was going to be Joaquin tonight,
very little airtime for Joe, and a lot of Joaquin saying how confident he was.
Yeah, I felt like, really? I'm saying to myself that no way Joe can go. I mean, Joe hasn't had one confessional tonight, and then we saw him a little bit at the end with Mike and Sierra.
One right before Tribal Council?
Right before Tribal Council. But Joe had a pretty invisible edit up until the final act before Tribal Council.
Justin Sharkey wants to know, how was it not obvious that Mike was throwing the challenge? It seems like the other survivors would be able to see what he was doing.
Yeah, especially Jeff really throwing him under the bus a little bit. Mike, looking at a screen, it's closed. There, you can't see it anymore. Mike, I don't know what you're doing.
He was doing a pretty terrible job of acting.
Yeah, but again, it did. If the people did notice, it did not impact what ultimately ended up happening. So I think it was fine for Mike, but I was definitely concerned that, people are going to be able to see what's going on, but it did not come back to bite him this week.
And maybe in the moment you're so hyped up and you're just like dying. It's so personal. You're not even thinking strategically, you're just so invested in the moment that you don't even like extend the possibility that someone else is trying to throw it for strategic reasons, because you're so focused on winning or not winning.
Okay. Let's go to Brandon the Stick.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon the Stick has to say, do you think had it not been for Joaquin inviting Rodney into the alliance, Sierra would have stuck with the outsiders and voted out the original blue collar?
That's a great question. And I do think that's the case. I think that, last week we saw Joe, Tyler, and Joaquin, and then Sierra was really into them. And this week, again, you see Joaquin and he says, we've got this new thing happening. There's me, there's Tyler. You really like us. Oh, and also you have to be with Rodney and Sierra. You can see you can hear the record scratch, right? Sierra is like, what, why? And I think they had kept Joe instead of Rodney, and that was a huge mistake. There was a conversation with Joaquin where he knew he had to get Sierra, and he says to her, you have to be with Rodney, not, who do you want to get out? What do you want to do? And that, when you have a swing vote like that.
Oh, you like to say that. What would you like to do?
Yeah.
I like that. Steven, can we officially say that Tyler and Joaquin did a bad job of keeping Joe in the mix?
That was crazy too, right? Joe even says to Mike, oh yeah, I wanted to be with those guys, but they don't seem to want to be with me. What are they thinking?
Yeah, well, they were thinking that we have to target Joe. They were playing a game that they started playing the individual game before the tribal game was done. And they said, okay, well, if we let Joe get to the merge, he's going to win the challenges and he's got people on his side. So he's the most dangerous player in the game. We got to take him out here. And I feel like for the white collar people, they were not in the position to be thinking about that. If you're blue collar, if you were the alliance of Mike and Rodney Sierra and say you control the numbers, then I think it's the right decision. But for those guys, for Tyler and Joaquin to be thinking that way, that was incorrect thinking for them.
I agree. And the other thing about Joe is that he's so clearly a threat. And, you can hear Rodney and Joaquin talking about it. I think Mike says something in the episode. Max, in all of his exit interviews, was talking about, how Joe is such a clear threat and how everyone sort of acknowledged that. Keep that guy into the merge. That's exactly who you want in the merge, is the guy who everyone thinks is a threat.
Interesting. And why do you feel that way? Because he's going to be a big,
huge target. You know, that's one more vote for you to, you know, advance three more days in the game. It's a huge focal point. You know, let him win challenges. Let him do great things and be charming. That guy is takes away all the energy. And, you know, it's exactly what Tony had said about Spencer, right? He kept Spencer around because Spencer was such a focal point for everybody else that it allowed him to be able to maneuver.
Now, that's a fair point. That guy is never going unnoticed at the merge.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So let's go ahead and take a couple more questions. Alex G wants to say, is this another example of people not asking the swing vote what they want gone? I feel like I've heard that before.
It does sound like a familiar question.
Familiar. Okay. What about this question, Steven?
Yeah. Will Seaman wants to know, did Rodney just reference BB14? He wrote Chef Joe.
Chef Joe. Why does Joe yell when he does confessionals in the diary room? Yeah.
Maybe so.
You have no idea what we're talking about, right?
That was the season of
Willie Hance,
Big Brother. I saw, and Ian.
Okay,
my old Risk adversary. Full Plate Jacket wants to know. I was curious why nobody pitched getting out Rodney rather than Joaquin. Sierra would have been happier, and Rodney's going to be against the blue collar from now on. As it is, was booting Joaquin the right choice? This is a good question. What do you think, Rob?
See, like, I think
Joaquin versus Rodney.
I think for Mike and for Dan, what they thought is this is their playbook of, right, hey, two people are tight. Let's vote out one of them, and then we'll win the other person back over. So Sierra and Lindsay are together. Let's vote out Lindsay, and then Sierra will come crawling back to us. It worked with Lindsay and Sierra. Will it work with Rodney and Joaquin? That I am not so sure about. Will Rodney come running back to the blue collar after Joaquin is gone? I'll say I'm not so sure whether or not it will. I mean, on the one hand, we know that Rodney is going to be a very erratic player. But that being said, where else does he have to go? I mean, he doesn't have any relationships with the other tribe.
And Joaquin did, right? Joaquin was tight, you know, certainly with Tyler. You know, he's got Carolyn. And I think that, right, they know Rodney. Rodney is the devil they know. And they don't know Joaquin. They don't know what his relationships are like. So I think, you know, keep Rodney. I agree. Does it make sense to offer that to Sierra? Ask Sierra what she wants. Maybe use that kind of as a deciding factor. If Sierra wants to vote out Rodney so much that she's willing to let Joaquin stay around, you know, maybe you consider that. But, you know, all things being equal, I think it makes much more sense to vote out Joaquin.
Okay. Let's do two more questions. Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to say, after all that was said at Tribal, should they have not followed the RC rules and voted out the swing? Why? What does RC have to do with this?
This is the, I don't know.
Yeah. I believe what he's referencing is in Survivor of the Amazon when we voted out Christy, who was the swing vote. Should both sides have gotten together and said, hey, let's vote out Sierra?
No.
Because it was both sides thought they were pulling off a blind side.
Yeah, both sides, you know, it wasn't that she was, Christy wasn't committing, right? She was sort of being wishy-washy. It didn't look like Sierra was being wishy-washy, to her credit, right? I think, you know, for either side.
The move to vote out the blind side is best when one person is clearly playing both sides and both sides are growing frustrated with the lack of commitment from both, from that one person who's the swing vote. And that's when you could sort of just, like, you know, make things very easy for both sides and vote out that swing vote if you don't trust them. Sierra did a good job playing both sides.
I think Sierra did a great job.
Very good. Very good.
Was Walk's mistake, Umberto Urrutia wants to know, was Walk's mistake not cutting Rodney when Sierra said she didn't like him when recruiting her? We just talked about this a little bit. Yes.
Yes. But no, the bromance was strong with those two.
Yeah, it was too strong. Didn't you get the sense, Rob, that the bromance was a little bit one-sided? That Rodney kept saying, "Oh my God, you know, we're so tight. We're both from the East Coast. We're bros. We love women. We love partying." And Joaquin was sort of like, "Yeah, sure." And then Rodney says, "And I'll vote for you if you make it to the end." And suddenly Joaquin is like, "Yes, we're friends."
Yes, I felt like Joaquin had all the hand in that bromance.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I also just felt like what Rodney was saying about Mike was really off base too, that he said he doesn't trust Mike because he goes to church or he doesn't, He doesn't date a lot of women. Like, all the reasons why you probably wouldn't trust a guy were the reasons why Mike, you know,
Joaquin.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like the exact kind of person that you would describe that you would trust. It seems like Mike
is morally upstanding, you know.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy. He doesn't, he's not
God,
like, yeah, like, I can't trust that guy. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like Tony, cops, you know, no one wants to trust a cop.
All right, Steven, who are you giving the fishy to tonight? There's a lot of different ways you could go with this.
Mike is getting the fishy for pulling off a great challenge throw, for pulling Sierra back into the fold, for voting out Joaquin.
Let's just
for
say
making me the knowingest know it all.
Let's just say he pulled off a challenge throw. I don't know if we need to call that a great challenge throw.
I thought it was pretty great because there are not that many challenge throws that work out as perfectly, you know. And what's interesting is that. Well, I guess Jeff didn't necessarily know it was a challenge throw. He could have given Mike some more heat about that, right? But in Redemption Island, when they threw the challenge, boy, Jeff was not happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, he really raked PG and company over the coals when, you know, they threw the challenge to get rid of Aaron as well. Yeah. So Jeff typically does not like the challenge throw, but Jeff does like the blue collar truck.
He does like the blue collar, and he loves a good blindside.
Yeah. This is just an example of the hard working people that intentionally throw challenges that built this society, that built America. The people that lose on purpose, who are the backbone of this country.
Yeah. Jorge Alvarado, one more question. Let's know why target Joe? What happened to Tyler's strategy of pulling in the disenfranchised?
Yeah, what happened to Ellis Island? What happened?
I thought this is a great question because I do want to know what Tyler is thinking here because we don't really see it at all. We have no idea what Tyler's thinking here.
You know, it did seem like after this week, it almost seemed like Tyler was in the back seat and letting Joaquin drive, pulling a Missy.
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Yeah, Joaquin was driving with Rodney shotgun. And yeah, Tyler was just nowhere to be found in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe that's his move, right? Is sort of like sitting back and kind of letting things play out and then then stepping in when he has something to do.
Interesting. All right, Steven. Yeah. So much fun tonight. Great job.
Who gets the sesti?
Who for the worst job tonight? Boy, yeah. I feel like it's gotta be Rodney, right?
Rodney's
face. Is it Rodney or is it some combination of Joaquin and Tyler?
I think it's got to be Rodney over Tyler, right?
But Rodney stayed in the game.
Tyler stayed in the game.
But I feel like that Rodney is the target next week, where I don't think that Tyler is the target next week.
Right.
So I feel like that Tyler is probably the best player out of those guys. So I feel like he did the worst job. I want more out
of
him.
It's cumulative. It's a weighted award.
Yes, yeah, so I think he needed to see that they were losing Sierra. Yeah. I don't know where he was.
Maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's happy to see, you know, well, I guess he probably isn't happy to see Joaquin go.
I think he's in an interesting spot coming into this next episode of, does he go back to Mike and those guys and stick with the blue collar, or does he return to Carolyn and go with the no collar people? It's going to be a very telling episode next week when we get to the merge, Steven. I'm very excited. This is it. I'm Mr. Merge. We're ready to go.
There we go, Mr. Merge.
Love it. All right, Steven, great job tonight. Do you have a hashtag for this episode?
There you go. You're so much better with hashtags.
Okay. We had so many different things. Is it, I don't know, Mr. Merge.
I like it.
You Mr. Merge. Like it?
Hashtag Mr. Merge.
No, I think it has to be, what'd you say? What was the ho-ho edit?
All right, ho-ho edit.
I think that has to be.
It's all about Shireen tonight. The ho-ho edit.
Yes. Okay. So, Steven, great job. We'll look for your people blog tomorrow. Of course, Steven tweets it out every week from his Twitter. Follow this man on Twitter.
Rob, I wrote it entirely in verse.
In verse? Like in Shakespeare?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be on the lookout for that. Steven, pulling out all the gimmicks on the people blog.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was just this bromance had me thinking, you know, bromance denied had me thinking of Romeo and Juliet. And so I started off writing a few verses and then the rest just, you know, the muse took over.
A tale of unrequited bromance between Rodney and Joaquin. All right. So check that out. Follow at Stephen Fishback on Twitter. Of course, we will speak with Jim Rice tomorrow. We'll take your voicemails with Antonio Mazzaro. Get those voicemails in at robinsonwebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And I will have my bromance with Joaquin tomorrow on the exit interview. So a lot to do.
Didn't want to find out like this.
Yes. All right. Stephen, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Lots of fun tonight. And take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.